Commissioner in charge of managing crisis communication. To audible and admiring guffaws, Van Ranst told his core d'élite audience how to stage a pandemic. "You have one opportunity to do it right," he said. "You have to go for one voice, one message. You have to be omnipresent that first day or days so you attract media attention. And they're not going to search for alternative voices." He explained that talking about fatalities is important because people say, "Wow, what do you mean? People die because of influenza?" That was a necessary step to take. Then, of course, a couple of days later, you had the first H1N1 death in the country, and the scene was set. He continued, "I misused the fact that the top football clubs in Belgium inappropriately and against all agreements made their soccer players priority people. I could use that because if the population really believes that this vaccine is so desirable that even these soccer players would be dishonest to get their vaccine, okay, I can play with that. So I made a big fuss about it. It worked." In 2020, this kind of thinking earned Van Ranst appointments to the Belgian Risk Assessment Group, RAG, and to the Scientific Committee Coronavirus, which advises Belgian health authorities on combating the virus. He became the public face of Belgium's response to COVID-19. By October 2009, many people were complaining of a wave of devastating illnesses from the flu shots. From the beginning of their concocted pandemic, Dr. Fauci and other trusted public health officials had stressed that pregnant women were at a special risk from the swine flu compared to the seasonal flu. This was a lie, but terrified mothers queued up in droves to get the jab. Many of them would regret their choice. Research by Goldman in 2013 documented an 11-fold increase in fetal loss reports following the 2009 to 2010 pandemic flu season when pregnant women received two seasonal flu vaccines during pregnancy and the H1N1 vaccine. A 2017 CDC study links miscarriage to flu vaccines, particularly in the first trimester. Pregnant women vaccinated in the 2010-2011 and 2011-2012 flu seasons had 2 times greater odds of having a miscarriage within 28 days of receiving the vaccine. In women who had received the H1N1 vaccine in the previous flu season, the odds of having a miscarriage within 28 days were 7.7 times greater than in women who did not receive a flu shot during their pregnancy. To quiet the clamor, Dr. Fauci took to YouTube to reassure the global public that the flu shots were rigorously tested, perfectly safe, and that the risks of serious adverse events for the influenza vaccine are very, very, very small. This statement was scientifically baseless. Heavy conflicts of interest marred the underlying studies, which received fast-tracked approval without any functional double-blind placebo controls. Dr. Fauci went on to explain, "The H1N1 pandemic flu vaccine is made exactly the same way by the same manufacturers with the same processing, the same materials as we make seasonal flu vaccine, which has an extraordinarily good safety record." 2 months after Dr. Fauci made these public assurances, an explosion of grave side effects, including miscarriages, narcolepsy, and febrile convulsions, was causing carnage in multiple countries. According to the European Medicines Agency, EMA, Pandemrix caused more than 980 cases of severe neurological injuries, paralysis from Guillain-Barré syndrome, debilitating narcolepsy, and cataplexy, including in more than 500 children. The Glaxo vaccine killed and injured so many children and health workers with various forms of brain damage that it forced Glaxo to withdraw the vaccine. The 2009 H1N1 swine flu pandemic was another hyped global contagion fraud that never materialized. epidemiologist Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg, chairman of the Health Committee of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, PACE, declared that the 2009 false pandemic was one of the greatest medicine scandals of the century. The director of the WHO Collaborating Center for Epidemiology in Münster, Germany, Dr. Ulrich Kiel, labeled the pandemic a meticulously planned hoax. "We are witnessing a gigantic misallocation of resources, $18 billion so far, in terms of public health," Kiel said. Writing in Forbes magazine, medical journalist Michael Fumento concluded that this wasn't merely overcautiousness or simple misjudgment. The pandemic declaration and all the klaxon ringing since reflect sheer dishonesty motivated not by medical concerns, but political ones. Wolf-Dieter Ludwig, medical professor and chairman of the Drug Commission of the German medical profession, declared that the boards of health have been taken in by a campaign of the pharmaceutical companies that simply wanted to earn money with the supposed threat. As usual, there was no investigation of Dr. Fauci or the other medical officials who choreographed this multi-billion-dollar fraud. The pharmaceutical companies walked away with billions, sticking governments and taxpayers with the ruinous cost of compensating flu shot injuries. In his 2011 article about the scandal in the Journal of Dr. Med Mabuse, "The Power of Money, A Fundamental Reform of the WHO is Overdue," psychologist Thomas Gebauer wrote that increasingly, private money or earmarked donations from individual states are deciding on the goals and strategies of the WHO. The extent of their influence was recently demonstrated by the way the WHO dealt with the swine flu. The article opens with a photo of Bill Gates. In his book Virus Mania, journalist Torsten Engelbrecht quotes epidemiologist Angela Spelsberg, an expert on pandemic manipulation and drug industry corruption, that the swine flu pandemic was deliberately used by the pharmaceutical industry for marketing purposes. 2016 Zika. In March of 2016, Dr. Fauci again misled the public, this time into believing that the Zika virus was causing an epidemic of microcephaly among newborn babies in Brazil. "One thing we know for sure, Zika doesn't cause microcephaly." Dr. Fauci had to have learned this. Zika was endemic to Central America and much of South Asia for many generations, with no reported association with microcephaly. Dr. Fauci's critics claimed that an experimental DPT vaccine administered to pregnant women in 2015 and 2016 in the slums of northeast Brazil was the likely culprit for the wave of microcephaly. Extensive use of highly toxic pesticides in that corner of the nation may have also contributed. They accused Dr. Fauci of pointing the finger at Zika to distract attention from the more likely culprits and to extract billions of dollars from Congress to develop yet another chimeric vaccine. The servile media, fattening on pharma advertising, delighting in the frightening epidemic that yielded children with tiny heads and great big ratings for the networks, obligingly heaped fuel onto Dr. Fauci's Zika terror crusade. Fear drives viewership, as CNN technical director Charlie Chester explained to industry analysts during the COVID-19 crisis. COVID? Gangbusters with ratings, right? Which is why we have the death toll on the side. Dr. Fauci announced that he was pulling funds from malaria, influenza, and tuberculosis research programs in order to fund a series of 4 or 5 vaccines to rescue America from Zika. By fanning the flames of pandemic panic, Dr. Fauci, buttressed by his partner Bill Gates, requested an additional nearly $2 billion congressional appropriation to NIAID to develop a Zika vaccine. That money swelled his agency's Zika budget to about $2 billion and enriched his pharmaceutical partners. Dr. Fauci funneled $125 million to a new Cambridge, Massachusetts startup then called Moderna Therapeutics to develop an mRNA vaccine for Zika. Gates appeared on CNBC to tout Moderna and promote its efforts to deliver a Zika jab. He put $18 million into a project with the Wellcome Trust to fund a U.S.-owned company, Oxitec, headquartered near Oxford University in the U.K., to release millions of genetically modified mosquitoes in Brazil and the communities to exterminate the mosquito species blamed for spreading Zika. This was a follow-up to an even slightly more sinister 2008 Gates-funded study by Professor Hiroyuki Matsuoka at Jichi Medical University in Japan to engineer mosquitoes that can act as flying syringes to inject malaria vaccine into people, both the willing and the unwilling. In 2021, Gates would expand on this macabre project by investing $25 million in an effort to genetically modify mosquitoes to stealthily deliver coronavirus vaccine to the vaccine hesitant. I'm not joking. The feverish predictions of a microcephaly scourge in Brazil soon fizzled. World Health Organization spokesman Christopher Dye told NPR that while we apparently saw a lot of cases of Zika virus in 2016, there was no microcephaly, peaking at a high of about 5,200 cases in 2016, the United States has recorded a total of about 550 Zika cases since then, with roughly 80% of those occurring in 2017 with no reported microcephaly. The disease never spread beyond Florida and Texas, and no cases of Zika-associated microcephaly ever materialized. Undaunted, Dr. Fauci warned that the disease will come again to the United States and that the country absolutely has to be prepared for it. In 2019, health officials reported only 15 cases of Zika in the United States, all of them microcephaly-free. The Mayo Clinic, meanwhile, reported in December that, despite Dr. Fauci's $2 billion expenditure, there is no functional vaccine for the disease. By 2020, Dr. Fauci could no longer credibly blame the microcephaly epidemic on Zika, and he stopped talking about his vaccine. In June 2020, Dr. Fauci, under questioning before Congress, sheepishly explained it was never brought to full fruition because Zika disappeared. 2016 Dengue. The Gates-Fauci-Zika scam squandered billions of taxpayer money. But the Gates-Fauci-Dengue vaccine collaboration had a far graver outcome. This time, their life-saving vaccine was a death trap in a syringe. Over a span of two decades, NIAID worked with the Gates Foundation to develop a vaccine against the mosquito-borne dengue virus, the most widespread tropical disease after malaria. Only a month after Fauci's agency filed its first of 305 patent applications in November 2003 toward development of mutations useful for attenuating dengue viruses and chimeric dengue viruses, the Gates Foundation announced a $55 million grant to support the Pediatric Dengue Vaccine Initiative. In September 2006, Sanofi Pasteur entered a partnership with the initiative. By July 2007, NIAID's prototype dengue vaccine candidate emerged out of preclinical trials with what Dr. Fauci called a promising future. NIAID awarded several industry sponsors in Europe and Brazil non-exclusive licenses for its formulations. Early the following year, Dr. Fauci issued another of his hysterical pandemic warnings in a commentary for the American Medical Association's journal. A disease most Americans have never heard of could soon become more prevalent if dengue, a flu-like illness that can turn deadly, continues to expand into temperate climates and increase in severity. Efforts to control the transmitting mosquitoes had fallen short, Fauci said, and widespread appearance of dengue in the continental United States is a real possibility. To fight the disease, the formidable challenges of understanding dengue pathogenesis and of developing effective therapies and vaccines must be met. NIAID announced its dengue virus vaccine clinical trial in August 2010 at the Gates-funded Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore and at the University of Vermont. Fauci said, "With increasing infection rates and disease severity around the world and the discovery of dengue in parts of Florida, finding a way to prevent dengue infection is an important priority." Gates's WHO fueled Dr. Fauci's feverish dengue furor warning. In 2012, dengue ranks as the most important mosquito-borne viral disease with an epidemic potential in the world. There has been a 30-fold increase in the global incidence of dengue during the past 50 years, and its human and economic costs are staggering. However, referring to the Gates-Fauci projects, WHO predicted progress on vaccines that induce long-lasting protective immunity. Dr. Ralph Baric, the gain-of-function guru, was the American darling of both NIAID and the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. His lab at UNC Chapel Hill received $726,498 from the Gates Foundation for using recombinant dengue viruses to advance dengue vaccine development. Originating in February 2015, the three-year grant was scheduled to conclude early in 2018. In July 2014, Lance Gordon, the BMGF's director for neglected infectious diseases in its global health program, released news that the Sanofi-Pasteur experimental dengue vaccine that Gates and Dr. Fauci funded was showing positive clinical results. Amidst his sunny forecast, Gordon made an ominous allusion that would have sounded DEFCON 1 to anyone decoding its implication. NIAID's clinical trials in Brazil, he acknowledged, showed signals of pathogenic priming. That foreboding phrase describes an enhanced immune response that can trigger system-wide inflammation and death when the vaccinated individual is re-exposed to the wild virus. Infectious disease experts and health regulators had recognized the deadly potential of pathogenic priming since the 1980s, when one study showed that more severe responses were found to be 15 to 80 times more likely in secondary dengue infections than in primary infections. In 2004, an experimental MERS vaccine had produced robust antibody response in children during an NIH trial and then catastrophic illness and death when researchers exposed the children to wild virus. Similarly, in 2012 and 2014, a collaborative of Chinese and U.S. researchers had developed coronavirus vaccines that produced antibodies in ferrets and cats and then killed them when they encountered the actual wild coronavirus. But Gordon's admission didn't set off an alarm. The WHO, under Gates's firm control, was bent on accelerating development of the Gates-Fauci dengue project. Dr. Fauci was also undeterred. Omitting any mention of the danger signals, Dr. Fauci proclaimed in January 2016 that the project would proceed. Researchers, he said, in NIAID's Laboratory of Infectious Diseases spent many years developing and testing dengue vaccine candidates designed to elicit antibodies against all four dengue virus serotypes. An article published in the American Ethnologist bore a curious title, Chimeric Globalism, Global Health in the Shadow of the Dengue Vaccine, April 2015. The piece described the NIAID effort, a laboratory-engineered chimeric dengue fever vaccine entered late-stage clinical trials in the late 2000s. The article asked readers to consider the implications when vaccine development is not entirely driven by a public health aspiration, but by the divergent logics of pharmaceutical capital, humanitarianism, and biosecurity. The dengue venture didn't proceed smoothly for Sanofi Pasteur. With Gates Foundation support, the French pharma company spent 20 years and some $2 billion to develop Dengvaxia, testing the vaccine in several